So our scripture lessons today is from Ephesians. This is chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love that of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So I named this God the Father, and I don't know about you guys, but I read things sometimes, and it talks about God being represented as the father of a family is not really a very good representation, because so many people had a bad experience with their father, or their father mistreated them, or the father wasn't around. And when I was reading this, he talks about two different things. One thing, when we think of father, I think a lot of times we think of the parent as the father. And that's not really what was meant in the scripture when it was written. Fatherhood in this case, a translation would be closer to, it would be closely bound by love, fellowship, and care. So when I was reading that, I thought more about whoever your best friend is. Everybody has a best friend. And that best friend, I think, more represents closer that relationship with God that he's describing here. And so God is a father that we have access to. So if you think about Old Testament times, nobody really had access to God. Whoever the head priest was then walked into that front part of the temple. And if you don't remember, they had bells on the bottom of the robe. And that was because you wanted to make sure they didn't go in there and see God and die. And they actually tied a rope to them, because if they saw God and died while they were in there, then the rope around them was a way for them to pull them out. They really didn't have any access to God, but through Jesus Christ, we do. And so it's really a different time. It's a different way of thinking. And then God is the Father of everything that's good and holy. He welcomes all of us in. Because I don't know about you guys, but I've done some things in my life that I'm not the most proud of, and I've sinned. And I'm guessing everybody here has in one way or the other. And what he's asking is, he's going to love us and care for us, but what he's saying is, you have to try to make a change. It can't just be, oh, I'm sorry, and then you go on and you just keep doing the same stuff you've always done. That's not what that love, that spirit of holiness he's showing us. It's yes, you acknowledged what you've done wrong. You have said you're going to try to change. But if something happens in your life and you fall back, we can start that process over again to make you closer. But it can't be, I'm just going to keep doing the stuff I've always done my whole life. I'm just going to be forgiven every time. So I talk about my grandchildren. One's two. Sawyer turns 5 today. We did his birthday like a week ago. When one of them hurts the other, and you say, you hurt your brother, here's what I hear him say, sorry. I'm thinking they didn't really exactly mean it. It might be the tone of voice, but it's more of, if I don't say sorry, I'm going to get in trouble for mom and dad or grandma or grandpa. That's not that relationship we're looking for here. We're looking for a relationship that when we ask for forgiveness, it's a real asking for forgiveness, and we're going to change the way we behave. And so God's the Father of all. Now, when you're in the Old Testament and even at the beginning of the New Testament, from a Jewish point of view, that is not what they thought. They thought God was the Father for them, and everybody else wasn't good enough, that they were special. Well, what we've learned since then, I would say, and they probably just didn't get, is that God's the Father of everybody. Nobody has an exclusive right. United States doesn't have an exclusive right to God. The country of Israel, the Jewish people, don't have an exclusive right to God. But God is God for everybody. And so it's for all men, all women, all children, all races, nationalities. And so if we truly believe that, then for us, we have to find a way to love and respect everyone. So when Linda Kitchen was here last Sunday evening and she was talking about the Native Americans out west, one of the things that she talked about was how many issues they have within family. It goes back hundreds of years. One of the worst days that I think I ever had in my life was on July the 3rd, and it was 15 or 20 years ago. We were out west because we were going from the Grand Canyon into Colorado. And we stopped at a grocery store because that was the only place to stop and get lunch. And everybody in there was Native American, and they all had their food stamps and their government things to get food that day. And it made you realize just how poorly the United States of America had treated a whole group of people. That they were that destitute that literally the whole store was Native Americans buying food. I would say that was a time the United States just did an awful job in the way a group of people was treated. And Linda talked about that in her message last Sunday. We didn't love and respect those people. We just didn't. People that were here thought they were better. They mistreated them, stole stuff from them. There was a comedian one time, he told a joke that they'd give the Indians, what they called Indians then, they would give the Indians something and go, well, just move over, till they got them on the worst piece of land in the United States and said, okay, you can stay there. And that's kind of what we did. We didn't love and respect them. So for us as Christians, if we truly believe, our job is to love and respect everybody. Now, some people are a lot easier to love and respect than other people. And my 2-year-old grandson was a perfect example of that on Friday, because when he was crying and screaming because he might have been a little tired, could have been, he was not happy that I put him in his car seat. But I still loved him. I don't think he loved me based on the way he was trying to get away from me, but I loved him. And so it's not always easy to love each other. God is the person that we need to thank each and every day for what happens. Now, what we do a lot of times is we go to God when, and I talked about this a little bit last week, we go to God when things aren't going well, when we're sick, when we're injured, when our neighbor's hurt. But God is there for us each and every day. So we should be going to God and thanking Him for the things that happen that are good, just as we go and hope and pray when we need help when things are bad, when we've lost someone in our life, when things aren't going the way we think they should. Whatever that is, when life is not going the way we want it to go, we need to go to God both in the good and the bad times. And I talked about that last week, so. And one of the things that, and so I put Father in here, but I think a better way would be God shows us a way to treat everybody. And so I have 4 different things. He gives us reason. Now, I think reason in this case is more about right and wrong. Because most of the time we know the difference between right or wrong. Now, how many of you remember Steve Yoder, who coached at Ball State in basketball, and then he went to Wisconsin? Yeah, it's a general basketball kind of coaching thing. Someone was in trouble. He was being interviewed on a radio station. He wasn't coaching anymore. And the guy said, did you have a lot of rules for your players? And he said, no. He said, if you had a lot of rules, you just had to argue with them about whether they broke them or not. He said, but what I did with every kid, when I met with their family, whatever their family was, I asked them, did they know the difference between right or wrong? And he said, you know what? Every single kid I ever interviewed said, yes, he did. Then 4 or 5 months later, or a year later, they would be in my office because someone at the university brought it to my attention that what they did maybe not was right. And he said, I'd have them in my office, and I'd say, do you remember at your home when we had the conversation about right and wrong? And he goes, yes, coach. And he said, do you understand the difference between right and wrong still? And he would go, yes, coach. He said, so what happened here? Was it right or wrong? And he said, all of them would go, yeah, it was wrong. He said, but you told me you knew the difference. He goes, I do know the difference, but it was still wrong. And he said, then they'd have to come up with a way of disciplining, whatever it was. And so for us, we have to know when we're doing something right and when we're doing something wrong. God leads us to that. And then we have to be sensitive. I'm not sure sensitive is the best word here, but it's the word I used. To be able to know when we need to help somebody, when somebody's troubled. And so I'm going to tell you a story. If I told it before, you could go, gosh, he's losing his mind. He just tells the same stuff over and over. But have you ever gone to a friend and you can just tell they're troubled? And you say, Dale, you okay today? And what does everybody say when you ask them that?
Sure,
he's good. But you're looking at Dale and you're going, Dale, dude, you're just not okay today. It's easier to say, well, he said he was okay, I'm walking away. Because then you don't have to get involved, you don't have to ask questions, and you don't have to listen. Because we don't like to listen to people's problems a lot of times, because it means we have to get involved. And so if I go, Dale, you seem like you're really troubled today. Are you sure you're okay? And then Dale says, yeah, and if he says he's fine twice, then you have to go along. But sometimes when you're willing to take that extra step, the person will say, well, something's bothering me. So I remember one time at the bank, and Elisha, who's 35 now, was having trouble with kidney, and they were talking about whether they were going to have to do surgery or not, and apparently it was bothering me because I had a customer that came in, and he said, Ed, are you okay today? And I said, yeah. He goes, you don't seem okay. You seem like there's something bothering you. And so I told him the trouble we were having. And it worked out okay. The doctor said, I think we're just going to do nothing and see if she kind of grows out of it. And that's what happened. But sometimes we don't want to share for whatever reason. And we want to keep that stuff inside us. And it's not really good to keep it inside. But for us, the question is, are we going to ask that second question? Because even though Dale denied me twice in this case, does me one more time, we're going to call him Peter. But if he says, well, you know, here's what's really going on, and this is what's going on in my life, but you have to take the time to listen. Doesn't mean you have to fix it. Men like to fix stuff. Makes my wife, yeah, she's going to be at the next service, so I'm going to have to take this part out. And there's nothing that makes her madder when I try to fix something when she wants to just talk to me about it. I've learned to say, am I supposed to fix this, or are you just talking to me about it? If she says you're just listening, I am the best listener in the whole world, and I am not trying to fix anything. But in this case, that being sensitive, you have to be willing to listen to somebody's issues. And sometimes we don't want to, because sometimes we care more about us than Dale or whoever we're talking to. And so the question is, are we willing to do that? But God gives us that ability to do that. Now, the next one's will, but I think will is better described as the strength to do what is right. So a lot of times, we know what the right thing is to do, but do we have the strength and the courage to do it? Because sometimes that's hard. Because it's easier just to walk by and go, oh, I don't really have to get involved in this. We were coming home last night. Our dryer died this week. We were coming home from buying a new dryer, and there's this lady standing by the road, and she's going like this, but her back's to us, but there's cars coming from the other way. And I slowed down because I thought, does she need us to stop and help her? Turned out she just had a cigarette in her hand. She was doing this. But but from a distance, we couldn't tell. And so we were starting to slow down to see if she needed help, because she was way, you know, right out by the edge of the road on Bethel. And, it, you know, it's pretty busy. I thought, is she flagging down the car coming from the other way? Or is she just trying to get somebody to help her? Or apparently she was just messing with her cigarette. So, but the question is, it would just as easy to drive by and totally ignore her. which is what we should have done in this case, but we didn't know it at the time. And so we were trying to decide. And so do we have that ability, that strength, to stop and do what needs to be done? Or are we just going to go on? So when Anita was talking about her tire, there's no way you can fix the bent rim. I mean, you just have to put on, was it a real spare or a donut spare?
Donut spare?
A donut spare. And you have to put it on. The dumbest thing that ever happened to me when I was trying to change a tire one time, I got the lug nuts off, but the tire, when they put it on so tight, I could not get the rim away from the hub. And the guy stopped and he said, are you having trouble getting the lug nuts off? And I said, no, I have beat that tire with my feet. I cannot get it off that hub. Because you know what? I live like two blocks from here. I've got a rubber malleted hammer. I'll bring it back. I whacked it three times and it came right off. So it just stuck on there somehow. If he hadn't stopped long, I think I'd still be there kicking that stupid tire. And that was like 10 years ago. Because it was not going to come off. And we need people to stop and help us. And so that guy didn't have to stop and help me. He could have just went, boy, that guy's having trouble with that tire. Hope somebody else stops and helping. Which again, we'd still be there 10 years from now, beating on that tire. And so when you have those opportunities, and we don't all have the same opportunities. If my wife stopped to help somebody change a tire, she would have to wait till the next person got there to help change a tire because she wouldn't know how to do it. But she has a cell phone and she call if the person doesn't have a cell phone or their cell phone died or whatever happened. There's different ways of being able to help. When I was at Sugar Grove, one day it snowed a lot, was windy, and I'd never driven there in a lot of snow, so I decided it would be better to go the north-south road. That wasn't the way I normally went. Because I was about 2 miles down that road, about a third of the way to the church, my cell phone rang. It was some guy from church saying, hey, that road is really drifted. I'd come in from the other way. I went, too late. I'm on that road. Past the young lady who got way off in the ditch and snow up way over the top of her car. And I said, clearly I can't help you because there's not enough of us here. She goes, I've called a friend's coming with a tow truck. Okay. Because she was way, way in the snow. But depending on the situation, we have the ability to stop and help. Sometimes we can just call. Sometimes we can physically help. When someone's having trouble more for personal reasons, it's do we have time to listen to them? Tell us what's going on in their life. And when I say listen, I mean really listen, because there's a difference between listening and hearing. I have a test for that, but we'll do it some other day. And so do we take the time to do that? At the end of all this, we are so grateful to God for bringing us the love of Jesus Christ. And Jesus loves us no matter what the stupid stuff we do. We have to go back and try to change our lives to be more like Him, how He led His life. I finished a class this week. Oh, I finished my class last Saturday. Think I got a B. Not exactly sure. I haven't seen a final grade, but based on the grades I've seen posted, got a B. Which, remember, it's pass, fail. That's all we care about. But one of the things we talked about is that love of Jesus Christ in our last class. That He loves us all. The shortest one, the smallest one, the tallest, the oldest, the youngest. He loves us all. And when things aren't going our way, so like when Bingo, I only brought Bingo up here because about half the time when I bring something in, I leave it here in case you guys didn't know that. But for Bingo, that was Alicia's bear. She loved that bear. Bingo did a lot of traveling in our house from bedroom to room to room. You do not have to physically pick up Jesus to take Him with you. He is with us all the time. He's in your car. You can't forget Him. He's in this service today. He'll be at the picnic this afternoon. He is everywhere. We have to be open to His love. And then what we're supposed to do is take that same love and share it with all the world. And so, I give you guys homework, right? This is your homework. Love everybody. And there will be somebody, usually somebody in your family, that's hard to love because you know them best. But find a way to love them. Tell them that you care for them. So we've talked about Fido, forget it, drive on. When somebody you really love hurts you, I think Fido works there too. Just forget it and drive on. Because we love them. Amen? Father, be with us all as we go out into your world. Let us love and respect all those that we come in contact with. Let us be open to how you want us to deal with those that are more difficult for us personally, to find a way to love and care for them. Amen.